Hey guys, it's James here. I just wanted to give a quick PSA that if you're looking for the Solo trailer coverage on this episode, you're not going to find it. In fact, we actually had a debate later in the episode about when we were going to get it, and it turns out we got it last night. So if you want to hear us talk about that, check your podcast feed or head over to YouTube where we did a quick little reaction cast for you. So if you want to check it out, that's where you got to go. Thanks and enjoy the episode.
You're part of the
Welcome back to Star Wars News Net's The Resistance Broadcast. My name is John Hoey. We have a loaded and fun show for you today as we have special guests joining us to sweat profusely and talk some space opera. We're going to get into some Episode 9 chatter, talk Solo, which hits theaters in a shockingly close 45 days, and get to your Twitter questions. But first, let's say hi to the man who resurrected Super Shredder Darth Vader in last Thursday's episode. What's up, James Baney?
I had to bring back Super Shredder because everybody voted Boba Fett out of the coolest character tournament. I was just, I'm still kind of sulking about that, but I guess congratulations to Darth Vader. All right, let's go.
I know, a little too predictable, but I guess it's better than other choices that could have won, like my boy Salacious Crumb.
That's true.
What are you going to do? And if you went to AwesomeCon a week or so ago and got pummeled with Star Wars goodness, this woman is the reason behind all of that. What's up, Lacey Gillerin?
Hey guys, still can't believe AwesomeCon is over. Ugh. And somehow I didn't catch the con crud, which is a first for me. But you know what I did catch? All the feelings watching the director and the Jedi. My love for Rian Johnson has no bounds. I'm also fangirling a little bit, knowing who our guests are this week, and I'm a little sweaty about it. So I'll let you get to it.
All right. And I have to say, Bill Sheehy's not going to be here. He is at the barber this week getting an Attack of the Clones Obi-Wan Kenobi mullet. But as I did mention, and Lacey just said, we have special guests with us today. They just posted their live episode taping from a shop called Quest in Los Angeles, which is on their YouTube channel right now, which you can simply find by Googling Black Series Rebels. Their show is a lot of fun, and they always have great guests. They are the self-proclaimed Wayne's World of Star Wars, and we're happy to have them back with us, our friends Alex Backus and Stephen Ellis. It's the Black Series Rebels.
What's up, everybody? Fellas?
What's happening, everybody?
I'm so stoked to have you guys on. It's been a while.
Me too. I was at the live show. It was awesome.
Oh, thank you. She was the only one that was into it.
It's true.
It was like 115.
That's such a lie. Except that one guy in front.
Everyone just came for pins.
My favorite part was seeing Lacey trying to lean to see the Howard the Duck stuff. That was beautiful. She was like, what is that?
My favorite part was definitely George, man.
I was going to say, my favorite part was George.
Mine too.
Sio Bibble.
He was funny.
Sio Bibbs. Sio Bibbs and George.
George killed it, man.
Where'd you guys go? Get those blown up at Staples?
No, where did I got those online. There's a place called, I think it's buildahead.com. You can get them ranging in 1 foot to like 6 foot. And I think we went with 3 foot. Big two.
And they have a default Sio Bibble option. Like you can just go straight to
one. What you do is you got to upload a high res image as high res as you can. And like whatever you want, like I know I'm not a big sports guy, but I think like you've seen like the crying Michael Jordan heads at basketball games, things like that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That was just another brilliant, silly idea by Mr. Backus.
That's usually what happens is I go, hey man, I need you to get two giant Sio Bibble heads. He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, don't worry, man. It's going to be awesome. And he doesn't know what I'm doing until like 30 minutes before the show's going to start. He's like, okay.
But that's trust right there, man. That is trust.
Guys,
right there.
I didn't even know about Howard the Duck until it happened during the show.
My favorite was Steve reining in George being like, okay, George. Yep. Yep. Okay.
It's because he's gunning for my job.
I honestly feel like that's what Lucas does when George like comes to hang out on the set. They're like, all right, George, that's enough. You directed your scene. Let's get you
for sure.
Home.
Well, something like that too. It only works if you have like so much love for the person you're parodying, right? Like, I really want to really stress that, because one of the things I was nervous about when we were putting that out is I really want people to know we're not mocking George Lucas. It's actually quite the opposite. Like, he's the coolest person in the room. That's why the only reason why that works is because everything we says, he like gets to give himself a round of applause for coming up with all of this stuff.
You have to know the deep cut jokes to make the deep cut jokes, you know? Yeah.
When he was walking around before the show, he kept just saying with me, "Star Wars is like poetry. It rhymes." He just kept saying that in the backstage. And I was like, dude, you're killing me with that. I was the only person that ordered that off Amazon that week, that weird beard and weird setup. But yeah, we're really glad you guys liked it. Thank you for checking out. Thank you, definitely. Lacey, for coming.
Yeah, Lacey, awesome. Thank you so much for coming. It was great to finally meet you as well.
Of course. It was awesome. I had a great time. And leaned really far in to watch the Howard the Duck trailer, apparently.
Yeah, the three different clips, the three teaser clips from Howard the Duck before teasers were a thing. So if you guys don't know what we're talking about, obviously it's their live video I was just mentioning, so go check it out. Even if you want to pause the show now and go watch that and come back, but check it out. It's a lot of fun, and we'll get more into that later. We do need to mention that Star Wars March Madness is over, guys. It was 32 characters, 5 rounds, over 10,000 votes cast, and Darth Vader is the coolest character in Star Wars history. We probably could have went right to round 5, I guess, but we had to go through it, and it was great. We ran a bracket challenge. A lot of you submitted your brackets, and we do have a winner. So we actually scored all these brackets, which, you know, is ridiculous that we had to do that. We didn't really think about that at the beginning, but this guy nailed almost every matchup except like one or two. So he won a Resistance Broadcast t-shirt of his choice. So congrats to at Cone Crew Carl, Matt Hossen. Congratulations, buddy.
Awesome.
Hey, Matt.
Awesome.
That's Matt.
Boo Darth Vader.
Boo Darth Vader, yeah.
Not a seed one pick, though, to be honest.
That's true.
Yeah.
He was a first pick in round two, I believe.
Yeah, Bill That's went for yeah. Luke Skywalker before he got his second round and went for Darth Vader in the second seed.
Hmm. Yeah. It was a wild draft.
Did Boba Fett go before Darth Vader?
Well, Darth Vader won.
Saying
so,
in the
yeah.
draft, like
he was picked.
Oh,
before.
Yes.
Okay.
Because yeah.
I think for some reason I would just naturally assume Boba Fett. People.
That's
love
what I
Boba
thought
Fett.
Too. Yeah. And that's my thing. I think people have always gravitated over the years to that character. Is just like, oh, but he's the coolest. He's just the mystery character, and I don't know, just everybody's kind of like underground favorite. So that's why I picked him first. Otherwise, I probably would have gone with, you know, Darth Vader's and other such characters like that. Look at that right there.
There he is.
Yeah.
So Alex is showing us a sticker of Boba Fett, which they were, well, he's not Boba Fett.
Yeah,
it's
this is not Boba Fett.
Scum.
What's the name?
Yeah. So, sorry, guys. Oh, yeah, we forgot scum. This isn't a video show and, you know.
Well, we can see it. We can see it. It's some guy in Mandalorian armor who's a clone, okay? Figure it out.
I wish I had the Price is Right horn.
So anyway, Matt Hossen, we will hit you up for that shirt of your choice. Get that out to you. And thanks to all of you who played. We are going to have other fun contests coming up, including one for Solo, a Star Wars story. So keep it here. But now it's time to tackle the latest in Star Wars news. So James, what is heating up this week in the Newsnet?
We had a big event last weekend with AwesomeCon, and one of the big things that happened there happened to be Star Wars related, with John Boyega showing up to chat. If you are a regular listener of our podcast, and you should be, hit that subscribe button, you know that we recently pieced together that there's more than meets the eye on the topic of rewritten scripts and who knows what happens in episode 9. So while on stage at AwesomeCon, John Boyega said, "I haven't read the script for episode 9, but Daisy did shoot me a text saying, 'Oh my gosh, I just heard from JJ and we're back together.' That's what I'm really excited about, is Finn and Rey back together again." So we're assuming it's pretty safe here to think that at least that is going to be happening. Lacey, I'm starting with you. This was your event. Did you expect something like this to happen? I mean, John comes out and drops this little nugget of information and then cites all over reporting on AwesomeCon.
No, not at all. The funny thing is, Ash Crossan did an amazing job moderating and some of her questions were Star Wars related, and a lot of them got cut. So once again, going back to the interview I did with him, they didn't really want him talking about Star Wars. So it's amazing he was so honest about this. But I mean, I don't put it past him. He's such a good guy. He was so very nice. So he's just so pumped to talk about Star Wars as a fan himself that I don't think he holds back. And I think he's really being honest when he says that he thinks him and Daisy are going to be together in the next movie.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right, well, Alex, let me ask you this then. This is all exciting, yes, right? But can we really rely on Boyega right now? I mean, we hear it from Star Wars Newsnet. You know, we hear it from John Boyega, who then heard it from Daisy Ridley, who then heard it from J.J. yeah. Abrams, the most secretive person in film. It's a plot point to the most secretive film franchise. I mean, did he just do something crazy, or can we even trust all this information? Is this J.J. being secret box?
His mystery box?
Black box or what? Mystery box?
Well, yeah. Steve's going to laugh box. Because this is what I like to call Star Wars news that to me isn't news. In a weird way. And what I mean by that is it's like newsflash, John Boyega and Daisy Ridley are going to be on screen together in episode 9. Like, I think that it was a very clear sort of end to The Last Jedi where they hug and it's like, okay, we did that whole adventure where we found ourselves. We're not like that. That embrace is very clearly like, okay, the next adventure is like me, you, and Poe, and we gotta finally finish this fight. Like, yep. You know, that whole...
They're 5 feet from each other.
Exactly. Like, it feels like, even in, like, Luke's little monologue where he's like, the war is just beginning, the rebellion is reborn today, and I will not be the last Jedi. Like, they're very clearly showing those three characters, like, okay, we've now been through what is the Empire Strikes Back, or the, like really the trials and tribulations of this trilogy. And now we're leading up to the big battle or the big war. So I think we can absolutely trust him when he says that that's going to happen, because that's what made Force Awakens so good, was the two of them. There are other things about it, but the two of them are what really solidified these new characters for the updated franchise. So I'm for it. I clap for it. I give it snaps.
We actually did these like pitches last week of what we thought episode 9 might be. We each did our own, and I'm not sure, but I don't really think any of us really specifically went out of the way to say, you know, Finn and Rey are back together. I'm gonna ask you, Steve, is that something that would have went into your hypothetical episode 9? It sounds like it goes into Alex's. It's obvious,
but I gotta be honest with you, I agree with Alex on this. I think that story standpoint, it's just natural storytelling. They meet each other. They start a bond in the first movie. In the second movie, they're split up. They've got to figure out who they are and who they are going to be in this world. And by the end of that movie, it's time to make a decision and end whatever, you know, all the bad stuff that's happening. And I think that it's a natural story point for these two characters to get put back together. So to answer your question, yeah, to me, that's just an obvious thing. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, I think it's going to be a little bit sort of, not to tread on following the original trilogy, but I think if I had to speculate, I would think it's going to kind of be similar, where all our heroes are together for probably the first and into the beginning of the second act a little bit. And then I think, you know, one or two of them are going to have to go and do something while the other one's facing off with Kylo or the First Order or something, and then eventually come back together.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, man, I mean, I think that we're totally going to see them together. We're going to see the dynamic of, you know, they kind of alluded to it in the Ashes interview at AwesomeCon with Boyega, you know, about, you know, the shipping, that word. But ultimately what it's going to be is, you know, I would love to see.
What a grandpa.
the term of the shipping.
Those kids with the shipping thing.
But no, he kind of talked about the shipping of Rey and him, or Rose and
Finn as well.
Thank you. And yeah, essentially, I think it's going to be interesting to see sort of Rose's reaction to Rey and, you know, ooh, how that might play out a little bit, if there's anything there.
And John wants Finn and Rey together. He's openly exactly. said that a couple or, times.
And kind of like he said at mm-hmm. Con, you know, he saw what Poe was up to there at the end of Force Awakens when Rey introduced herself, and he was like, yeah, I know. You know, it's just kind of like, I don't know, I don't want to read too much into things, and sort of like what our good buddy Ken Knapsack always says, you know, speculate responsibly. Mm-hmm. But I think yeah. those are going to be fun moments that you give it just as much time as we got it with these small moments at the end of The Last Jedi and just kind of move on from there. But I think it'll be fun to see our characters go through that. So that's a really long rambling answer to, yes, I think they're going to meet up and be together. Not, and when I say be together, I don't mean necessarily in a loving relationship, but I think they'll definitely be together.
Well, I got to get to the real nitty gritty of this story. John, you share a name with John Boyega. What's that like?
Wait, what? Wow.
This is not going to be on my podcast resume soundbite. That's pretty great, especially because we both spell it with an H, which is the only way you should ever spell the name John.
There you go. Any thoughts on the whole Finn and Rey getting back together thing? Anything yeah, quick?
It makes sense. I'm not saying this is going to be, people are going to be like, oh, JJ is going to rehash Return of the Jedi just like he rehashed A New Hope. But you have to get these three together because they haven't been together. So I agree with whoever, I think it was Steve who said, or Alex said, you're going to get all three of these together for the first time. The legacy characters are gone. Unfortunately, Carrie Fisher has passed away, and I doubt they're going to recast her. I think that'd be heresy. I think that'd be a bad PR move. I don't know how they try to pull that off. So with the legacy characters aside, it allows these three to take center stage now. It's no longer about The baton has been passed, and you have Rey and Finn and Poe teaming up. It sounds like we can rule out any more Rey and Kylo Ren for Skype sessions. I'm sorry, Lacey. And we're going to look at one final encounter at the end.
I wouldn't rule those out.
And yeah, she's like, hang on, guys. I got a call coming in.
She might. You don't know.
I think we're going to get the three of them doing some work together. And like Steve was saying, eventually Rey's going to have to go do her thing, which is confront Kylo. And the other two are going to have to go do their own things. But we are going to see some teamwork going on in this movie, finally, for those three.
All right. Well, I think that last story was a grand slam. Let's see how this Segway. Next one stacks up.
You called the right people. Hey. You called the right people for this story. Let's get it.
Yeah, we got Denny's. You've heard of it. You know, they make you some eggs over the hammy and some breakfast food all day. They put together this little secretive event at the El Capitan, and it was, you know, they invited some people in, and it was really just to get a good upcoming look at the new menu items, the new products, and even a commercial that after the fact they removed the veil and everybody got some free food on the iconic stage. I want to talk to Black Series Rebels, the representatives who went out to this. This was really cool. We're going to talk a little bit about the Denny's event, but then we got to get into the Star Wars of it, because I want to talk about Moloch, Argus, Six Eyes, Panox, and everybody's favorite Therm Scissor Punch. We got to get to that. So what was the event like? You were
you
there.
You want to take this, Steve, or you want me to get sweaty on some Denny's?
We're about to get sweaty on some Denny's. Yeah, man, you know, it all started off with a little bit of a we heard that the partnership between Denny's and Solo were happening a couple of weeks ago. And Alex being the Twitter social media maestro that he was, and, you know, Matt Martin is sort of the, I don't know, how would you describe him to our show, Alex?
He's like the Matt Damon to our Jimmy Kimmel.
What? Oh my God.
We've and Matt is very much involved. He understands this dynamic and it's working very well, but we've decided to bury the hatchet and invite him to get Denny's with us. So we have an open invitation. I invited him to order the entire Solo themed menu at a Denny's that is 9 minutes away from Lucasfilm in the Presidio. We'll take the entire Lucasfilm story group. We'll take all of them. They can order whatever they want
on us.
And we want to find out real hard-hitting questions like, what does Han Solo order from Denny's and make that canon? So we'll see if that happens. But it ended up being this thing where the SVP of marketing at Denny's started picking up that like there were these two sweaties that keep tweeting like pancake gifts and Pablo Hidalgo when everyone else is asking him real questions about the Clone Wars and Revenge of the Sith. Meanwhile, we're like, hey, man. You like turkey bacon or bacon? We were doing this bit for like 3 weeks. And long story short is they invited us to head on over to the El Capitan. It happened to be my birthday, which was really fun because we're not.
Oh, cool.
Thank you, guys. We're not birthday. Like, we're not as official as some of these other great like podcasts like Resistance and a lot of these other great ones out there like Steel Wars and stuff. And this was our first ever like official event. And there's something so great about us rolling in and being like, we'll take a Denny's mug and a Denny's menu and thank you very much, putting it in our backpack.
Oh, our name is on a badge.
Our name was on a badge.
You guys had a legit mic, though.
Oh, yeah.
That microphone was legit.
Yeah, we bought mic flags. Yeah, mic flags on Amazon. Throw a sticker on there. All of a sudden, you're a regular CNN, baby. Moving around.
Oh, looked so good.
So what did you guys think of this commercial?
I loved it. Steve heard me like squealing like a child. I loved it. I was like, yeah, yeah. Every time some like weird little thing would come on. And it could just be because I was on like hype overload. Like the organist had just like jammed out like a Star Wars, Star Trek mashup. And like everybody was kind of feeling that pancake vibe. And then they're like, oh, yeah. It was like the closest Denny's will get to an Apple event. They were like,
yeah, that's exactly what it was like.
I was gonna say, when did Denny's get so hip?
It was like, and he was like, and now a commercial, and like the lights would fade, and then they like play it, and then everybody would clap, and it was great. And then they like raised the screen. It was fantastic.
We used to do something with Denny's back when I was in the band. They worked out a thing with mm-hmm. Warped Tour where they would pick out specific bands, and then those bands would go to Denny's, and the fans after Warped Tour could go to that Denny's too. And then they would like be able to meet the bands and mingle and stuff like that. And the bands obviously got free food and stuff. So we would do that every once in a while. But
sweet
Denny's,
brag.
No, yeah, that's true. No, but Denny's has been kind of trying to get into this market. And I think maybe finally they just like really nailed a big one, you know.
I wasn't really privy to Denny's social media presence. And after this Denny's event and really going and looking at their social media, these guys have been like, I mean, these guys are just as good, if no offense, Alex, as they're just like Alex is with our Twitter account on all their social media. They're hilarious. They can be a little snarky. They can be, but it's like super quick witted. And I was really impressed with the way that they manage all of their social media accounts.
How's their gift game?
Their gift game.
Good.
It's pretty
they're
good.
They're nominated for a Webby for their social media, actually.
That's crazy. I mean, that's crazy to me. So, like, it's no surprise to me that they're sort of trying to forge into, you know, the new era.
Were you guys a little bummed that you didn't get a BTS reel or a trailer? Like, were you going in like, we're getting content, guys? Even though you kind of did, because it's showing you a bit of the movie.
I'll give you both, like, the political answer, because I don't want to feel... We weren't disappointed by any means. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I will say, like, when you get a thing that says the El Capitan, I was like, oh, why would they bring us to the El Capitan unless they were going to show us some stuff? But the moment we got there, I was like, oh, there's no way we're getting anything. Like, they didn't take our phones. They did. You know what I mean? Like, it was very like casual. And you're like, okay. Oh, okay. Like, it was very clear that we weren't going to get that. Just in the amount of people there, there were maybe like 120 bloggers and podcasters there. It was a pretty small event. If you guys have ever been to the El Capitan, it's huge. It's a very big movie theater. So I kind of looked at him. I looked over at Steve and I was like, oh yeah, we're for sure going to get a Denny's commercial. We're going to get the Solo commercial and some pictures.
Pancakes.
Some pictures of some new
pancakes.
Stuff. And pancakes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this whole thing was really cool. It was Neil Scanlon, right? They created like a duplicate set. They brought in a bunch of the same props and everything. In fact, even some of the actors who were involved in, like, you know, Return of the Jedi, Force Awakens, Rogue One, Last Jedi, Solo, you know, now, like, they were involved in this commercial as well. Did you guys think when it first came on, did you think, oh, this, because I thought it was a clip. Like, I thought, oh, this is a scene. Or did they present it as a Denny's commercial right from the get-go?
they presented it as a Denny's commercial.
Oh, okay.
Right from the start. In fact, that intro that you just did regarding it is almost word for word what he said about how we worked with Scanlan. Mm-hmm. I forget the other gentleman's name.
Michael Kaplan.
Mm-hmm. You'll notice creatures that were in the Solo teaser. We actually had them and used them. Interesting tidbit, and I don't know if it's really been reported on. It's really not that interesting, but he kept referring to the bar or whatever that they're in as the lodge.
The other thing that was really cool about it was, and obviously it's a Denny's commercial, so you kind of take it with what it is, but it really was the first time feeling like we were a little bit in the world that Han Solo's going to feel like. And
yes,
it felt pretty in tone and pretty cool. Like, it didn't feel, because my whole thing from just like what I've seen from the trailers is, and I think it's just in general what maybe has been the problem with that movie is tonally, they've been trying to hit a very specific chord, and I don't know how long it took them to hit that chord, but that commercial, I was like, all right, I can feel it. I can feel this vibe a little bit, because even in the trailer, like, I feel like we're seeing tonally something very different than what the music is evoking, and then maybe what the actors are saying. Everything just feels a little like Ron had to really come in and be like, all right, like, we're going to put this movie together like this. And that, as dumb as it sounds, as a Denny's commercial on the big screen, kind of gave me a little bit of comfort that tonally they have a real good idea of what this movie is going to be.
I have to agree with that.
I want to do like a quick roundtable. What was everybody's favorite character that they saw out of this commercial? I want to know who your oh so minty fresh is.
Man, even little Lando, man. Little Lando was oh so minty fresh. Yeah, little man. Land. Like, I can, like, Alex, when little Han and little Lando popped up on screen, I mean, it didn't matter it wasn't Harrison Ford. It didn't matter it wasn't Alden. We were just like, in the world, that's little Han, that's little Lando. Let's go. Let's get sweaty, boys, because I am stoked even just to see them as like 11-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, like, I know that's probably the lame answer and whatnot, but like, that's what I was like, yeah.
John, what do you think?
Lil Lando. I mean, this is going to be everyone's answer probably, but the white sloth looking thing that looks like it's trying to be this movie's Porg.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, James, you had pointed it out in that shot from the trailer behind Han. You could see that creature. So he is going to be in the movie. I don't know if he's going to be, Porg Nation or Sloth Nation or whatever, but I thought it was a cool looking character. It reminded me a little bit of Rocket from Guardians of the Galaxy. So it'd be kind of cool if this was a little wisecracking little creature who can like speak basic in Solo.
Lacey, did you pick out a favorite in this?
So I liked that guy. And there's one part of the Denny's commercial where he sighs and he goes, hey, like he like sighs a little bit at the table. I don't know if anybody picked up on that. It's like, I had to rewatch it a couple times. But I definitely liked Therm Scissor Punch with his like ramen, green ramen noodles that he's like, ar, 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 ar. Like, I like that.
I had to go for the Argus Six Eyes Panics. I was blown away with him back in that like charity commercial. I loved how all of his eyes moved at the same time.
Back in the Lord and Miller days, the dark times.
Yeah, back in the Lord and Miller days. And he's got this like awesome jacket that's like folded over, got the fur. It looks like a air captain jacket or something like that. I'm just like, this dude looks cool. And he's actually in the actual trailer, he's sitting at the table. So he's going to be one of the card game players as well, probably going up against Lando. So I'm pretty excited. It looks
like we're not getting any character returns. That was a big issue people had with The Last Jedi and The Force Awakens. We're not seeing the return of species from the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. And I don't like nitpicking, but give me a Rodian or something. Like, give me something from the original trilogy just to be like, they're still around in the galaxy.
Yeah, well,
no, okay, cool, guys.
I think you kind of get that. I mean, this sounds lame, but like, you kind of get that with Chewie, you get that with the droids, you get those nostalgic feelings from the characters that we already know and love. Like, I'm with you. I think we probably at some point should bump into a Jawa or like bump into some other things, and I do think that is it's a bit of a miss. Like, it would not have been hard to throw one Greedo into Canto Bight or one like a hammerhead into Maz Kanata's castle. Like, it would not be hard to do that, but I understand like they want to let these directors and these art directors really do their own thing and have fun. Like, that will happen, I think, at some point. But I think for right now, they're trying to build. It feels like a world that is so massive that we're going to get to this place where we're getting like maybe two movies a year, maybe, you know, six, seven novels a year. Like, whether we want it or not, it's Disney and they like making billions of dollars. Like, you better get on board, because it's like, they're just, we're not going to, that's like, you don't start introducing multiple trilogies and TV shows and all this stuff if you're not gearing up for that. So I just think we need to get comfortable with like, the stuff we're seeing in the background. They really want to build that all out. The only thing I'll say in regards to the creatures, I'm like over the Elo Asti creature.
Yes.
That one guy.
Yes, yeah. I am too.
No, he's cool.
Oh, really?
It's cool, but like, that's where it's like, all right, give me a hammerhead, or give me another Ewok or a Jawa. Cause like, mm-hmm. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's guy in Last Jedi, there they are. They're the shuttle parkers. Like,
well, no, what's the deal with all of them having like Southern accents?
I hate that.
Like, what's the deal with that? Like, I don't know. I feel like there's this weird, like,
and it's not even a Southern accent. It's just like, it's like a C serial TV show hillbilly. Well, like,
there we go. I'm from California.
No, but then
I'm
the stormtrooper in the deleted scene also has a Southern accent that talks to Finn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. There's this weird thing with the creatures and like the late, you know, the installment, the Skywalker saga installments, the new ones, where it feels like they're kind of trying to forge ahead with new creature designs and not really fall back on the old creatures. It's almost as if like they think that, it's almost like they do it because they feel like it's too much fan service or something. And I almost feel like that's why in like Rogue One, we got sort of those over the top fan service moments with creatures and characters we remember from the past. And I almost feel like at this point,
Dr. Evazan with the same exact quote.
Yeah. Like,
why don't you watch where you're going, buddy?
It's hard to not picture why they don't get like 90% new, 10% the same, like something we've already seen.
I think they're using these standalone films, to be honest with you, as sort of the fan service portion to kind of give that out there for the fans' appetite. And then the new movies is all about forging forward.
Well, speaking of the new movies and forging forward, Ron Howard is locked on this film.
Segway,
right?
Buddy. Segway.
Yeah, he's done. And we need to figure out when we're getting a trailer or something. And I got to be honest with you. I heard you guys were talking about a behind the scenes reel that you might be getting at Denny's. And I'm like, no way. That's definitely not happening. And then I started looking at the dates and I'm like, you know, to be honest with you, this does kind of feel about the time we might get like a behind the scenes or something. And
I mean,
then
it should have happened
like
a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so it does actually kind of play in. And then like a couple weeks from now, like a month before the movie's out, that's when we get that final trailer. I mean, Lacey, what do you think on that? I mean, when do you think we're going to get that final trailer?
As someone who's somewhat of a marketing professional, they're probably really focused on Avengers right now.
Yep.
And that's their priority. And once Avengers hits, they'll shift to Solo. Yep. And I think that's what's determining when the trailers come out.
Do we get it before Avengers so it ships with Avengers?
You... Don't dodge the question. Pick a date. Pick a date. Just guess.
Okay, John.
Whoa, dude. Whoa. Aggressive.
I would assume probably a week of Avengers. Yeah. So then it plays before Avengers.
Yeah.
But then I also kind of feel like, why wouldn't they wait till May the 4th? Or they might do an opposite switch where they have the trailer run before the movie and a behind the scenes reel run on May the 4th.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yes. Yep. I think you just nailed
May the 4th.
Because honestly, I don't really think May the 4th is something that like Lucasfilm really backs that hard. Like, I think we're always like, what are we going to get? And it's like, we don't get a whole lot of stuff on May 4th. Am I wrong?
Disney does, though.
It's the Star Wars show of dates on the calendar.
But you also need to realize that we also haven't really had a Star Wars film come out around May.
Yeah.
Right. They've all been pushed.
So it's like
the old days. Yeah.
They got to use it for your use it when it's like going to be most useful in your marketing campaign, right? So if that,
like, they use the Super Bowl
May 4th, it's an NBC, you know, literally, product. I think is a week after Avengers comes out, right? Yes. I mean, come on, like, it doesn't take a master's degree in marketing to figure out exactly what you're going to do with that. Like, it's perfect. Yeah,
that's why I said I was somewhat of a marketing.
I mean,
professional.
I think that's great, right? I think Lacey is dead on. I think you're going to get a trailer pre-Avengers. probably that week, or maybe even next week. I don't know if I want to speculate that closely, but like,
yeah,
you give it some time, you let Solo have its moment, because those trailer in the world of the internet, that trailer is going to have one day of a moment, and then everybody's going to be way on to Avengers over that entire week. You throw that in front of the movie. Now you've got $200 million worth of eyeballs on your Solo trailer. And then the week after that, now that Avengers is going to make an ungodly amount of money over that first week, and then May the 4th drops, and I think a BTS reel, but I don't think it's going to be like, I don't think we're going to be satisfied with that because of the nature of the story behind that movie. I think it's going to be a lot of like Ron smiling and like stuff. Look at how great this, it's not going to feel, it's going to be weird.
Like a montage of his Twitter posts of the last year.
No, it's going to be a lot of slow track shots, slow pushing, slow landscapes, sets, smiling at each other shots.
With cool music in the background.
People turning around slowly.
The other important date to keep in mind is the story that dropped today. That was the whole, it's going to have its premiere at the Cannes Film Festival on the 15th of May. So, yeah. I mean, we could very well actually get something as quick as like Alex said next week.
What about Cannes?
It was announced, I think, today that the movie is going to premiere on the 15th at the Cannes Film Festival, like 10 days before it's supposed to come out.
Solo is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like a sweet homecoming because that's technically where Lucas got the first.
I was shocked, too. I was
right?
like, what?
Who's going to France?
How is that not blowing up Twitter right now? How did I miss that?
Bresnikin did an article about it about 3 hours ago.
That's like an insane stamp of approval for that movie. I'm just throwing that out.
But Alex,
there.
Attack of the Clones also debuted at Cannes too.
How dare you?
Yeah, but that's like, did it really?
Yeah, it did.
Oh my God.
Oh, well, Solo is going to be the second worst Star Wars movie ever made. Sorry, guys.
But so did Revenge of the Sith. So this is the third
Speaking
one.
Speaking of fan service, Dexter Jester's in it.
Alex, did you know they're ruining Star Wars? Every movie is ruining it.
Yeah, Disney is worried. Yeah, exactly.
And those are my favorite tweets, guys, by the way. Disney should be worried.
John, I'm going to ask you one more thing about this date thing, because I think there's this interesting story here. Avengers moved dates. So originally, Avengers was supposed to come out after May the 4th. Was the plan to release a trailer on May 4th? And then release it with Avengers, and then they moved Avengers because they were thinking about doing this behind the scenes reel we're speculating on. I mean, how does the move of Avengers factor into what they were planning to do with the trailer for Solo?
I just see, I love the pattern of the saga films, because it was like Monday Night Football, middle of October, tickets go on sale, poster, lock it in. Like, we knew that was happening with The Last Jedi. Like Steve was saying, this one's a wild card. It's just like, it's been a while since they did May. But I think there's no chance they're not attaching the trailer to Avengers. So they're going to, I'm guessing next, so this is April 9th. I'm guessing next week, like a week from today or next week, during next week, you're going to see it on GMA. You're going to see the trailer. And then they're going to
get toys. You're going to get the whole thing.
And
so
the poster.
Like, toys. Trailer.
Tickets
posters,
on sale, maybe.
Tickets on sale, yep.
And then it's going to attach to Avengers, and then who knows what they do after that. Maybe the floodgates open, and it's just like, TV spot. Here comes that book, last shot. And
I think they're really giving Avengers space. Like,
that's
I think all that move is moving Avengers up a week, is so that Avengers can make the most money possible, and Solo can make the most money possible.
So they don't cannibalize themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Give Avengers a solid month to make whatever billions of dollars it needs to make. And then Solo comes out, and I think people are underestimating the kind of money Han Solo is going to make. We don't need to get crazy into box office numbers, but this is going to be an insane summer.
If you guys are willing to stick around to Thursday, we got a little bit more time on that show to get into the box office situation. I will say now, though, since we're running a little long, we gotta touch on some of these other stories that came out this week. Not necessarily full topics, but things that happened that are important that we want to mention. So let's head over to the Scoundrels Rundown.
I'm going to do a rundown. The best in the galaxy. Punch it! On Friday, we posted a story on our website, StarWarsNewsNet.com, on a tip we received that Enfys Nest is a female.
We had also received additional exclusive information about the character. Here's what our source told us. Quote, Enfys Nest is a female. It is not a big role, but it is important. She, being the actress, worked closely with Woody Harrelson. She has signed on for two more movies, presumably solo sequels. End quote. In addition to this, Star Wars Newsnet knows that the actress Lily Newmark, listed on the IMDb page for Solo, is not the one playing Nest. And based on what we've been told, we can safely assume that Emilia Clarke is not Nest either. Actors are often signed for multiple movies, so this doesn't guarantee a Solo sequel, but if Solo winds up being a big success, greenlighting a follow-up would be a no-brainer. Does Enfys Nest having a small role mean there's another big villain at play in Solo? We're going to find out in about 6 weeks.
What do you guys think about that? If it does happen, it's pretty groundbreaking if Star Wars finally has a main villain female, which would be different for the saga.
That's rad.
Yeah, I think also with a character like Solo is, I think a female villain is the perfect villain to sort of be able to put him in his place.
Well said. Hell yeah.
Well said.
I agree. And now on to toys. Sorry, Alex and Steve, this is not Black Series.
That's okay.
But the largest Star Wars toy vehicle ever created will be put into production. It is Jabba's Sail Barge, a part of the Vintage Collection, and it met its crowdfund goal of 5,000 backers, which means it will be made available for public production in 2019. Let's check in with the owner of the barge himself about the news.
Baska Chiza, Ninja Ma It, Chu Tanya Ma Katana.
Thank you, Mr. Hutt. For those of you who don't speak Hutties, that translates to, come on, at last we have it. I shall enjoy my sail barge, the katana.
Oh my. Wow.
I love it.
Well, James, thank you very much, everybody. This has been the Resistance Broadcast.
Now, guys, imagine if they made this thing scale to Black Series figures. It'd be like 10 feet long, probably $1,000. Would you guys pick that up?
No.
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 Nope.
No. I'm married.
Yeah, I hear
and,
you,
dude. Literally, I don't even have room for another Black Series figure at this point.
if you do have the money and the collector space for this thing, head to HasbroLab.com. For more information, I saw its debut at Hasbro Toy Fair in New York, and the thing is insane. It's insane. It's like a James Cameron movie model. But our final story, speaking of Solo, the score for Solo, a Star Wars story, is finished, as both Ron Howard and composer John Powell have confirmed this via their varying social media accounts. It will be interesting to hear what direction Powell brings Solo in, but we imagine it will continue along the lines of Star Wars, that feel that we got from Michael Giacchino in Rogue One, especially considering John Williams is creating and composing the theme for the film. Now, for your complete articles on all these stories, as well as your latest news, reviews, editorials, and information, head to our website, StarWarsNewsNet.com, every day. That is it for this week's rundown. Time to see which of your questions Lacey has for us this week in Ask the Resistance. So, Chewie, get us out of here.
Get ready, Resistance. Incoming transmissions. You've got questions, we've got answers. It's that time again for hashtag Ask the Resistance, where we answer your questions that you submitted via Twitter. The first question is for me, ladies first. Do you think Dave Filoni could direct a film in the new Rian Johnson trilogy? And that came from Tyler Brusso at Brusso_Tyler. So, Tyler, I love Dave Filoni. His style of headwear is perfection, knows so much about the universe, and let's be honest, he made Rebels into an absolute masterpiece. That being said, I would love to see him direct a live-action movie, and I think he is a definite possibility. Which, if it's him and Rian, we could definitely call this the fanboy trilogy, because they're both huge fans themselves. I actually have a theory about that trilogy, with Ahsoka and Ezra, but you'll have to wait till Thursday to hear it. Wink.
Okay. Way to get people to tune in Thursday. Yeah. Nice.
Hey. Okay. So the next question comes from Sean Sanderud at Rude Cold. Oh, rude. Do you think we'll get something hashtag Star Wars related out at Christmas? Maybe a new animated series or something else? What do you think? ... Just the gap till episode 9 seems way too long with Solo out in May. Hashtag Ask the Resistance. This question is for James.
Okay, I think everybody wants to know the answer to this, and the truth is no one really knows, but it is a large gap of time that we're all speculating, what are they going to fill it with? And I honestly, my gut feeling is, the way that they've kind of done this in the past, is there's an animated series that's being worked on. And I think that Dave Filoni is being secretive about what he's working on, and I think he's been secretive about what he's working on for a long time. And I have a feeling that this animated series might be further along than we think, and it might be coming sometime late fall or in December. Maybe we're used to hearing stuff around December, so maybe they'll launch it around then. But I think that's the answer. I think that the animated series is coming up. Now, what that's about, we've heard what was it, guys? Join Star the Wars Resistance, the Resistance or something.
Yeah,
so
Star Wars the Resistance.
That could be it. It could be something, you know, like a follow up to Rebels or something along those lines. Could be something completely different. My bet has always been on the Luke and Ben Solo adventures, if you will. But I think that's the answer. We're just gonna have to wait and see.
Now we're talking about the future a lot, but let's talk about the present trilogy. The next question comes from Han Spinnel at Han_Spinnel. And it's, do you feel like we are getting two distinct hashtag Star Wars movies with the present trilogy? I feel like in a lot of ways, 7 and 8 are a mashup parallel to the OT, and 9 will move into uncharted territory. Hashtag ask the resistance. And this question is for John.
Well, first of all, Han, this guy, Tab is his name. He live tweeted our episode last Thursday, so I thought that was just so cool. Like, this guy's awesome. Live tweeting our show. It's just absurd.
It was
so
really
thank
fun.
You. That was a lot of fun, so thank you. Yeah, I think we've obviously gotten two distinct separate movies. I don't see really how they parallel the original trilogy's first two movies, if that's what you're saying. But I know JJ said they're going to give us different things that we haven't seen before with 9, but I think he's definitely going to reel this thing in. And like I said before, he's not going to mirror Return of the Jedi, but he has to bring us to a climax and he has to close this thing out. So it is going to have similarities there. In terms of, you know, it being separate, these movies being separate from each other, it's like, so was the original trilogy. Like, some people think that George Lucas had some master plan for 9 movies, and he didn't. He didn't have a plan after the first Star Wars movie. It was Wizard of Oz, and then, oh, I got to figure this out. Oh, let's make him this kid's father, and so on and so forth. So we have to kind of just like put that away and think about it as, this guy handed it to this guy and he's handing it back to him. And JJ happened to be the executive producer on episode 8. He was well aware of what was going on. He even commented about the script. So it's not like he just got punched in the jaw by Ryan. Here you go. Here's your episode. Now I made her parents nobody. There is cohesiveness. I do think he's going to kind of take it in a new direction. Almost as a reaction to what people said about episode 7 being too close to A New Hope. So I think that is going to be in his mind a bit. But he is going to round it out, bring the three characters together as we talked about before. So there's going to be some cohesiveness there for the original trilogy. But as far as them being separate, yeah, and I'm cool with that.
Awesome. JJ is back, and he's in our next question as well. So our next question is, with JJ back and Ryan doing his trilogy, do you think we'll get to see Gareth Edwards return in the future? Perhaps even Ron Howard if Solo turns out good? Thanks for taking my questions, and may the Force be with you. This question is from Shannon Smith at Shannon Nick Smith, and this is for Steve.
That's a very great question, Shannon. You know,
Dr. Phil over here.
Grandpa. You know, speaking of Gareth Edwards, you know, I know there was Tony Gilroy came out recently and said a bunch of stuff that we don't need to get into. But the point that I bring him up with is that even though Rogue One had to go through its issues and whatever drama got leaked out and didn't and whatnot, I think that at the end of the day, what you need to remember is that Gareth was a team player. Gareth stuck around. Not only that, Gareth came back and was in the fold with Ryan and his cameo in Last Jedi. I think that Gareth is a true fan. I think he's happy to be invited to the party and be involved. And I think that, you know, I don't know if he'll necessarily be in the fold in terms of directing another movie per se. Maybe he comes in and maybe gets to direct an episode of the live action series that was announced with Jon Favreau, or something like that later on down the line. I think it's possible that he may return to the universe in some way. I don't necessarily think I'm sold on the film side of it right now. As for Ron Howard, you know, look, Ron's done one film franchise trilogy in his entire career, and that's the Da Vinci Code trilogy. I think if Solo is a success, and if my inkling is true and everything that Ron has sort of put out there for social media, Ron's having a hell of a time on this picture. He looks like he is having fun making this movie and fun playing in this world. I think should it be successful, I think we can almost guarantee Ron will come back and start a Solo movie from the beginning and go from there. And I'm really excited to see what he does with it. I'm really pumped on Solo. I think it's actually going to be a really fun adventure, and I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah, I think Gareth maybe somewhere down the line, maybe not movies, but in terms of Ron, I think Ron really enjoys playing in this playground, and you know, he's a really skilled and accomplished director. So
absolutely. And I think oftentimes people forget that there are human beings making these movies and that they have feelings and they care.
And they also don't have some insane master plan that spawns a decade's worth of whatever. Like, you have to realize this is a creative process, and in a creative process with multiple people, there's left turns and right turns, and you start to go one way, and then all of a sudden you realize this other thing and you change. And, you know, look, a lot of things were changing when George was making A New Hope. So it's yes, it's movie magic, but it's human beings making decisions on the fly as well.
Absolutely. Now, looking back to the future, we did future, past, future. Now we're doing detective work. And this one's for Alex. It comes from my boy, Peter Ross, at Stormtrooper Pete. And this question was actually for the Black Series Rebels. It was hashtag Ask the Resistance. I want to hear what the Black Series Rebels have to say about Force Ghosts. So this was a hot topic amongst us a couple shows ago. Do you guys think there are going to be Force Ghosts moving forward in episode 9? Do you think episode 9 will be the end of Force Ghosts? Or how do you feel about Force Ghosts in general? Let us know what you think.
I mean, I feel like I have, like, we could literally just lay this up. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, Alex.
You think there's going to be Force Ghosts in episode 9?
Absolutely.
Great. I think it's really that simple. I think you're going to get Yoda back. I think you're going to get Luke back. I think there's a pot. I don't know about Ewan as Obi-Wan. I think we got to see what that all shakes up with that movie, but that's a necessary part to Star Wars storytelling. We've had 3 movies, 4 if you want to count Rey's Force back in a weird way, as sort of like we've had the sort of this ancestor element where you're hearing sage wisdom from these masters and down to these new apprentices. I think that kind of goes without saying. I think on my first episode of Resistance broadcast, I made a crazy bold prediction that was, I think Finn's going to be paralyzed in The Last Jedi.
What?
Right? Yeah. Because this was like, we hadn't seen anything. And which, by the way, I was kind of right. He was paralyzed for like 1 minute of that movie.
Write it down.
To be fair, consider that confirmed that he was paralyzed.
I just miss everyone sending you pictures of Finn action figures.
Oh my God.
Dude, that was the best. Here's a Finn action figure. He's standing. It's like, that's plastic, everybody. I mean, clearly I was wrong. He spends a lot of time running around that. Actually, maybe it would have been more interesting if Boyega had. Would have been really interesting if he was paralyzed and can't bite. I'm just saying.
Or had a robot spine or something.
All there.
That got brought up as well.
So I will. Yeah, that was in there. I will say this. Here's my big prediction, right? So episode 9 will have some variety of like big battle. Okay. And I think Force Ghosts will be involved in that.
Whoa.
So like, yep. So I think there's a possibility that we might get like, because I mean, we saw for really the first time Yoda shoots that lightning and lights that tree on fire. So they can actually manipulate the Force from the spiritual realm or whatever. Like, how rad would it be if like you got Poe in space doing his thing? You got John and Finn leading these like huge like armies to fight against Hux and they're like battling. You got this like insane showdown between Rey and Kylo where they're just like, oh, we loved each other, but now we have to fight. And they're just like going back and forth and like let the internet speculate however they want. And then all of a sudden it's just like they're having this like crazy thing. And then all of a sudden, like Luke's there.
Like Lord of the Rings where the ghost people come in.
Exactly. Like they basically, yeah, it's like, don't do it. Don't kill him. You know what I mean? Or something. I think because I personally feel like if they're going to wrap up these 9 movies, because it really is, it'll be the last of these movies for a while. These episode movies, I think it would be rad if one, I think you could get a little bit of like love from maybe some of the older fans that weren't crazy about not getting a lot of hero Luke in The Last Jedi. So giving him another opportunity to do something to help in the fight from the spiritual realm or whatever. Everybody loves Puppet Yoda. So I'm throwing that out there. I think Force Ghosts are not only in 9, they will play a major role in the climax of that movie.
A million keyboards just started crying out loud on the internet.
I was going to say, let me know, you know, if that's when that's confirmed, and I'll delete my Twitter account because I can't handle what's about to happen. Luke start like moving chairs out of the way and Kylo's falling down.
Also, I think we're going to get 10.
I mean, settle down.
Back in the Clone Wars too, Qui-Gon lifted Yoda beyond like Yoda. We wasn't fighting against it, but like he wasn't choosing to float and like he was being picked up by Force Spirit Qui-Gon. So it is necessarily the first time they've interacted with humans and done things to other humans. You know?
And Obi-Wan got tired and sat down on a log.
Yeah, that's true too.
And James loves Qui-Gon, so I'm not surprised he brought him up.
Lacey was going to bring it up. But hey, when you're talking about Force Ghosts, you got to talk about one of the 4 that we have. So it's 25% of Force Ghosts.
I think the reason why I really resonate with this idea of having like some sort of Force Ghost or Generations thing involved in that last big climax of a fight is I do think when you make the choice to have Rey be nobody, she has to then be supported by all of the people that have lifted this trilogy, these trilogies up, right? It doesn't mean as much if Rey just kills the final Skywalker, like, yeah, see, anyone can do it in a weird way. Like, yeah. I think she still needs to embody the spirit of the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy, which means she's bringing Obi-Wan's spirit into that fight. She's bringing Luke's hero into that fight. So I think that's a really cool and interesting way to do it. It probably won't happen because Finn wasn't paralyzed, but hey, I'm throwing it out there.
I had said that she's going to adopt the Skywalker last name and that's how she's going to give herself a last name. But that's probably just as bad as Finn being paralyzed, as you
said. That's a good pitch. Still, I stand by that pitch.
No, it was fun.
She'll take the Solo last name, not the Skywalker one. Oh.
Oh, boy. Good times.
Wait, because she's Han Solo's daughter?
No.
Because she's going
to... Oh, sorry. She's Ben Solo's sister. Got it. That's the connection.
So many options.
Well played. Do you want your questions asked on the show? Tweet us at AskTheResistance, and we could select your question to be answered on a future podcast. And come on, how cool would it be to have one of these guys give you a shout-out? Back to you, John.
Thank you, Lacey. Yeah, use that hashtag. It helps us find those questions. And like Lacey said, what's cooler than having your name on a show? So right on. Thank you to our guests, Alex and Steve of Black Series Rebels.
Yay, my boys.
Guys, where can our listeners find you guys? Plug away.
Well, right now, last month we were able to tape our very first live event. We had some awesome games, some awesome guests. It's now available for you guys to watch on our YouTube channel. Like you said at the top of the show, just go ahead and Google us at Black Series Rebels. YouTube will pop right up. The live show's a lot of fun. It's super silly, super sweaty. And you can catch our show every Sunday night on YouTube, our regular weekly show, news, reviews, interviews with awesome guests from around the galaxy. And like, you know, we, uh, you know, we definitely are sort of the, we keep it easy, we keep it light, we keep it fun and not too serious. And like you said earlier, we're sort of the Wayne's World of Star Wars internet podcasting, talk show, what have you.
Yeah, and I know we probably have some folks here listening that are like, Black Series Rebels, I know those pins. I think probably the pins might be a big reason why people know us. The best way to find out about how we're dropping those, when we're dropping them, which characters we want to do, is to shoot us a subscribe on YouTube. We always announce them first on the episode. I can say that while this episode is going up, you'll be able to enter to win a limited edition skateboard. We did a one-of-a-kind skateboard deck that has our Proto Scum design on it, which is a white scum. Nice. And we have two. We made two. There will be one that's on our set and one that we're giving away, and that'll be it. So if you want to enter to win that, head on over to our YouTube and check it out.
Awesome, guys. And thank you all out there for listening, subscribing, and spreading the word of our show. And make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or YouTube, and we'll take care of the rest. Subscribing is free, and by subscribing, you'll be the first in line for our announcements and giveaways, so beat the pack and stay ahead of the game. Be sure to check out our website, StarWarsNewsNet.com, every day for your latest Star Wars news, information, reviews, and more. James, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Myra Trunks. And just loving Star Wars every single day.
Right on, buddy. Lacey, where can they find you?
Everybody can find me on Twitter at Lacey Gillerin, talking about Kylo Ren and how he's the best character ever to come across Star Wars, and everybody should shut up on March Madness. You can also find me geeking out about the Black Series Rebels. I'm super sweaty right now.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at Johnny Hoey and writing over at StarWarsNewsNet.com. And you won't ever find me at a Denny's restaurant. Just kidding.
Fingers and chili. Fingers and chili, yeah. At Wendy's.
Yeah, Steve messaged me the other day. Dude, what's with the hell the Denny's hate? And I'm like, Wendy's. And he's like, there's fingers in that chili, man. There's fingers in it.
Oh, no, just old cheeseburgers.
All I'm saying is just patron your local mom and pop diners once in a while. That's all I'm saying.
thank you for making this a commentary on small business in America. Oh, please.
AMX, small business Saturday.
I really care about small mom and pop diners. Oh, as you follow the biggest franchise in the world.
Hey, it's an independent film.
You got it. Yeah, exactly. It's the largest independent film in the world. Alex and Steve, this was really a lot of fun. Any chance you guys want to come back on Thursday and do it again?
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, Alex.
What are we doing on Thursday?
We're hanging out with the Resistant Broadcast guys from Star Wars Newsnet, man.
Yeah, man, we'll be there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Great. We'll promise we'll talk a lot about Rian Johnson.
Okay? Love it. In Rian we trust.
To all of you listening, tune in on Thursday morning and we'll have a deep dive discussion on Rian Johnson's upcoming trilogy, his outlook on the future of Star Wars, and the importance of Star Wars breaking new ground. And we might have a special announcement, too. So keep those headphones and speakers locked in position, and we'll see you Thursday morning right here on the Resistance Broadcast.